Sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Palm Sunday is a day of contrast, of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem, but it is also the foreshadowing of what coming to Jerusalem means for Jesus. The last week he faces the swirling controversy about his methods, his motives, and in the last week he deals with wavering disciples, the denial of one of his own followers and the powers of the establishment. The fickle crowds who went from adoration to turning on him. Today we want to make a journey of the last week through scripture and art, linking the biblical story and the interpretation of artists through many different centuries and from different cultures. Let us journey together as we hear this story of love.
When they were nearing Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany on Mount Olives, he sent off two of his disciples with these instructions. Go to the village across from you. As soon as you enter, you'll find a colt tethered, one that has never yet been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone asks, what are you doing? Say, the master needs him and will return him right away.
They went and found a colt tied to a door at the street corner and untied it. Some of those standing there said, what are you doing untying that colt? The disciples replied exactly as Jesus had instructed them, and the people let them alone.
They brought the colt to Jesus, spread their coats on it, and mounted.
The people gave him a wonderful welcome, some throwing their coats on the street, others spreading out rushes they had cut in the fields. Running ahead and following after, they were calling out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's name.
Blessed the kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in highest heaven.
Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the cabal of high priest, determined to betray him. They couldn't believe their ears and promised to pay him well. He started looking for just the right moment to hand him over.
On the first days of unleavened bread, the day they prepare the Passover sacrifice, his disciples ask him, where do you want us to go and make preparations so that you can eat the Passover meal?
He directed two of his disciples, go into the city. A man carrying a water jug will meet you. Follow him. Ask the owner of whichever house he enters. The teacher wants to know, where is my guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will show you a spacious second-story room swept and ready. Prepare for us there.
The disciples left, came to the city, found everything just as he had told them, and prepared the Passover meal.
After sunset, he came with the 12, and as they were at the supper table eating, Jesus said,
I have something hard but important to say to you. One of you is going to hand me over to the conspirators, one who at this moment is eating with me.
Stunned, they started asking one after another, it isn't me, is it?
He said, it's one of the 12, one who eats with me out of the same bowl.
In one sense, it turns out that the Son of Man is entering into a way of treachery well marked by the scriptures. No surprises here.
In another sense, the man who turns him in turns traitor to the Son of Man, but never to have been born than do this.
In the course of their meal, having taken and blessed the bread, he broke it and gave it to them. And then he said,
"Take, this is my body."
Taking the chalice, he gave it to them, thanking God, and they all drank from it. He said,
"This is my blood, God's new covenant, poured out for many people. I'll not be drinking wine again until the new day when I drink it in the kingdom of God."
They came to an area called Gethsemane, and Jesus told his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him.
He plunged into a sinkhole of dreadful agony. He told them, "I feel bad enough right now to die. Stay here and keep vigil with me."
Going a little ahead, he fell to the ground and prayed for a way out.
"Papa, Father, you can. Can't you get me out of this? Take this cup away from me. But please, not what I want. What do you want?"
He came back and found them sound asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, you went to sleep on me? Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert. Be in prayer, so you don't enter the danger zone without even knowing it. Don't be naive. Part of you is eager, ready for anything in God, but another part is as lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire."
He then went back and prayed the same prayer. Returning again, he found them asleep. They simply couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't have a plausible excuse.
"Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Were you there when they nailed him to the tree? Oh, 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 sometimes it causes me to tremble, tremble, tremble. Were you there when they nailed him to the tree?"
The reading continues. "Time's up. The Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let's get going. My betrayer has arrived."
No sooner were the words out of his mouth when Judas, the one out of the 12, showed up, and with him a gang of ruffians sent by the high priest, religion scholars, and leaders, brandishing swords and clubs.
The betrayer had worked out a signal with them. "The one I kiss, that's the one. Seize him. Make sure he doesn't get away."
He went straight to Jesus and said, "Rabbi," and kissed him. The others then grabbed him and roughed him up. One of the men standing there unsheathed his sword, swung, and came down on the chief priest's servant, lopping off the man's ear.
Jesus said to them, "What is this, coming after me with swords and clubs? As if I was a dangerous criminal. Day after day I've been sitting in the temple teaching, and you never so much as lifted a hand against me. What you in fact have done is confirm the prophetic writings." All the disciples cut and ran.
They led Jesus to the chief priest, where the high priest, religious leaders, and scholars had gathered together. Peter followed at a safe distance until they got to the chief priest's courtyard, where he mingled with the servants and warmed himself by the fire.
The high priest, conspiring with the Jewish council, looked high and low for evidence against Jesus by which they could sentence him to death. They found nothing.
Plenty of people were willing to bring in false charges, but nothing added up, and they ended up canceling each other out. And then a few of them stood up and lied.
We heard him say, "I am going to tear down this temple, built by hard labor, and in 3 days build another without lifting a hand." But even they couldn't agree exactly.
In the middle of this, the chief priest stood up and asked Jesus,
"What do you have to say to this accusation?"
Jesus was silent. He said nothing. The chief priest tried again, this time asking,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?"
Jesus said, "Yes, I am, and you'll see it yourself. The Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Mighty One, arriving on the clouds of heaven."
The chief priest lost his temper. Ripping his clothes, he yelled, "Did you hear that? After that, do we need witnesses? You heard the blasphemy. Are you going to stand for it?"
They condemned him, one and all. The sentence? Death.
Some of them started spitting at him. They blindfolded his eyes, then hit him, saying, "Who hit you? Prophesy!" The guards, punching and slapping, took him away.
While all this was going on, Peter was down in the courtyard, and one of the chief priest's servant girls came in, and seeing Peter warming himself there, looked hard at him and said, "You were with the Nazarene, Jesus."
He denied it. "I don't know what you're talking about." He went out onto the porch.
A rooster crowed. The girl spotted him and began telling the people standing around, "He's one of them," and he denied it again.
After a little while, the bystanders brought it up again. "You've got to be one of them. You've got Galilean written all over you." Now Peter got really nervous and swore, "I never laid eyes on this man you're talking about."
Just then the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered how Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows twice, you'll deny me 3 times. And he collapsed in tears.
At dawn's first light, the high priest with the religious leaders and scholars arranged a conference with the entire Jewish council. After tying Jesus securely, they took him out and presented him to Pilate.
Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?"
He answered, "If you say so." The high priest led a barrage of accusations.
Pilate asked again, "Aren't you going to answer anything? That's quite a list of accusations."
Still, he said nothing. Pilate was impressed, really impressed.
It was a custom at the feast to release a prisoner, anyone the people asked for. There was one prisoner called Barabbas, locked up with the insurrectionist who had committed murder during the uprising against Rome. And as the crowd came up and began to present its petition for him to release a prisoner, Pilate anticipated them. "Do you want me to release the king of the Jews to you?" Pilate knew by this time that it was through sheer spite that the high priest had turned Jesus over to him.
But the high priest by then had worked up the crowd to ask for the release of Barabbas. Pilate came back. "So what do I do with this man you call king of the Jews?"
They yelled, "Nail him to the cross."
Pilate objected, "But for what crime?"
But they yelled all the louder, "Nail him to a cross."
Pilate gave the crowd what it wanted, set Barabbas free, and turned Jesus over for whipping and crucifixion.
The soldiers took Jesus into the palace called Praetorium and called together the entire brigade. They dressed him up in purple and put a crown plaited from a thorn bush on his head. And then they began their mockery.
"Bravo, King of the Jews!" They banged on his head with a club, spit on him, and knelt down in mock worship.
After they had had their fun, they took off the cape and put his own clothes back on him.
Then they marched out to nail him to the cross.
Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when they pierced him in the side?
We have heard the story again. We began this story of Jesus telling his disciples to go and to secure a certain donkey for him to ride into Jerusalem. He tells the disciples that if anyone asks why they are taking it, to simply say, "The Lord needs it." On that day, the Lord needed a donkey. But today, Jesus doesn't need a donkey. The question for us, I believe, in this season, in 2018, what does the Lord need from us? And I go to these words of St. Teresa of Avila, who may offer us some continued insight. Christ has no body but ours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands in which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes, your are the body. Christ has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth, but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth, but ours. May we ride on with compassion, knowing our God will never leave us alone. We ride on with action and compassion. Amen.